This week, while I was in Israel, I met Chabad rabbi that is in charge in Israel and is supporting all people who are injured during wars or terror attacks. That's his job. I hired him for this. Since October 7, he's busy day and night, you can imagine. Now, there is, everybody, all the people who are being injured in the army. Most of them are sent to Tel HaShomer. Tel HaShomer is a big hospital for what is called, let's say somebody lost an arm or a leg, and he needs
Amputees,
therapy, and he needs to,
trauma.
yeah, oh, it's a trauma center, and exactly. Then but they have so many soldiers who are injured in such a bad way that they needed to open another special unit in a hospital in Jerusalem, Hadassah, in Hadassah, and Mount Scop. And there they and when the moment here that they opened a new unit, a new place in another hospital, he went to see what's going on there. He walks in, he meets a soldier. An injured soldier, his name is Oz. Oz is a Hebrew name. Oz is a father of a few kids. He's a reservist man. He went to the army, to the war. They called him to the war. He's already many years ago, he finished the army. And he was injured from, when a missile falls, there is the pieces who fly all over.
The shrapnel.
The shrapnel, exactly. Thank you. The shrapnel who flew, and he was injured in his head. And the guy is happy and he thanks God. He says, "What's going on? What's the story? Why are you so excited?" He said, while they started to do the X-rays of his head and to try to take out the shrapnels, they discovered that he has a brain tumor that nobody knew about. They rushed him to the emergency to the surgery, and they took out the tumor, and they discovered it was a very dangerous tumor, very aggressive tumor. And if they wouldn't cut it now, it would be dead.
Shrapnel is the best thing that ever happened to him.
That's what he says. He said the shrapnel are the best thing that ever happened to him. And therefore, he's thanking God. Then basically, the shrapnel is a miracle. Great, the best thing ever happened. Isn't this unbelievable? Then his parents were sitting next to him. They turned to the Chabad guy and tell them, "Oh, Oz was born from a blessing from the Rebbe." What's the story? And he got married in the 80s. They could not have children for 7 years. One day, he decided he's going to call to the Lubavitcher Rebbe in New York. Here he's a holy man. And ask him for a blessing. He sits on the phone, he got the phone number. But the phones in Chabad headquarters were very busy. And he was sitting all night. Finally, the secretary picks up the phone. "Hello," tells him, "I'm here, my name is so and so, and I want to ask a blessing from the Rebbe for children." Said, "What's your name? What's your wife's name? What's your mother's name? Her mother's name?" "Fine, I'll ask the Rebbe for a blessing." "Sure." But they went throughout the time. They used to go for special fertility treatments. One day his doctor tells him, "Listen, I don't see I can help you. But there is a doctor in another hospital who started a new type of treatment. I think go to him. There is a chance there." He goes to find out about the new treatment. It's all nice and fine, but it's private and very expensive. They were a young couple, they didn't have the money. What do? You turn to your father-in-law, to the ma wife's father. What will a father not do that his daughter should have children, right? Says, "Can you help us with the money?" He said, "Give him." He was a rabbi in a moshav. You know what a moshav is, like a little village in the southern side of Israel. He said, "You know what? If ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if he says that that's a good idea, I give the money." And he gives you a blessing. They were shocked. He has nothing to do with the Rebbe. He has nothing. They couldn't know where it's coming from. But that was the condition. At that time, we had a Chabadnik, a friend. That was in the late 80s. He calls his Chabad, his friend. He tells him, you know, tells him the story. He said, I need an answer from the Rebbe. A yes or a no. The guy takes all the details, writes them down the names, what the story, what the question is. A half hour later, he sent a fax. At that time, it was all by fax. Mm-hmm. He sends a fax, he calls a half hour later. He's all crazy. He says, I never got an answer in a half hour. Never such a thing. But you got an answer. The Rebbe said you should go for the treatment. And I'm giving he's giving you a blessing. He will pay for you a day. His father-in-law's gravesite. That's how the Rebbe is to answer. I read the letter on the father-in-law's gravesite and everything will be good. They went, his father-in-law gave the money.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal. He gave the money. And then he went to do the treatment. And lo and behold, his wife got pregnant and a little girl was born. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Very happy. They sent a letter, I think a letter to thank the Rebbe for the blessing. Like nice people. Somebody giving you a blessing. You say, I thank you, letter. What could be more basic than this? They were a little disappointed they didn't get an answer. Months and months passed, didn't get an answer. Then they discovered that the girl, she was born with something wrong in her leg. She needed a surgery. She had a surgery in the hospital in Israel. That was 9 months. She was 9 months old. The doctor said the surgery will take place a half hour, whatever. There's an hour. They're waiting for the doctors to come out. And it's going time, time, time. And they don't know what is happening there. What takes so long? And he gets more stressed and more stressed. In the middle, the father says, you know, I want to go home. They were very close, living close to the hospital. I want to pick up something and come back. But I see the doctors are not coming out. He goes to his house. He passed by the mailbox. Lo and behold, there is an envelope from the Rebbe. A blessing, a letter from the Rebbe. A mazel tov and a blessing for the baby that was born. 9 months after the baby was born. And the same hour that she was in the surgery room, the letter showed up at the mailbox. The letter later, they had a double blessing. Two babies, they're twins, a boy and a girl. The boy they called Oz, and the girl they called Adar. Oz, it's written about God, that Oz ve Adar, it's about God. Oz means strength, that's the name for the boy. Adar means beauty, that's the name for the girl.
Huh?
This Oz is the soldier who was injured. And now, because he was injured, he saves his life. God works in mysterious way. And this guy told me that I saw, then he sent me a video how the father tells the whole story. I was Shabbos with him in the synagogue in Fahabad, and he told me, he told the whole congregation, told the story. It was, and then I called him, I told him, I sent him what I wrote down. I said, I want you to find out, to make sure everything is correct, and so on. This Shabbos, we're going to read, in this Shabbos has a special name, on certain Saturdays of the year, have a special name.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an additional parsha or something. This Shabbat is called Shabbat Shkalim. Why it's called Shabbat Shkalim? Because shekel, you know what the shekel is?
Sure.
Money, the shekels in Israel. Why they came up with the name shekel? It's a name from the Bible. It's a biblical name. It used to be a lira, like a pound. Mm-hmm. Now they changed it to shekel. They need to change it because of financial reasons. Or they chose a name from the Bible. They didn't become biblical people suddenly. Then used to be in the time of the Bible that the Jews, God told Moses, then when you want to count the Jewish people, don't count them by people. You know, in Judaism, we don't count people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can bring a bad luck. It's an evil eye. Instead, make them give every one of them a half a shekel.
Mm-hmm.
Count the shekels.
Okay.
If you want to count them, count the shekels. Why? And why to count the shekels? Why we need to count the Jews altogether? Because Moses needed to know how many soldiers he has for the army. That they count only men from 20 to 60. At that time, until 60, you went to the army. They were a little stronger than us. Then that's what he did. Then that's the first reason why he needed half a shekel. Second reason is, God says to atone for their sins. Which sin have to atone? The sin of the golden calf. Then the Midrash says Moses was taken back. For idol worshiping, I have a shekel. That's it.
It's not much.
You atone for your sin for a shekel. That's a great deal. And God showed them a coin made out of fire in heaven. Told them this they should give. Why he needed to show him a coin? He didn't know how a coin looks like. If you tell me he showed them something that it's very complicated, it's written also in the Medrash, he showed them the menorah, how the menorah in the temple should look like. It was very complicated. No matter how much he tried to explain them, he couldn't understand. He showed them a vision. But a sign of a coin?
Mm-hmm.
In a coin from fire. What do you want to say? The message was, if the Jew, every Jew has a fire in his heart. If he's giving the coin with the fire of love to God, if he's really regretting for his sin and he's loving God, then a half a shekel is good enough. And if not, a million shekel is not good enough. I mean, a million shekel, I can work out a deal for him. But it's all about the fire, the excitement. This was when Moses got to Moses. But then he told them from this money, every year they should make a fundraiser. Just like, you know, they do on a charity campaign. You know, they do the charity. Every Jew, once a year, had to give a half a shekel. And with this money, that's the third reason. They used to sponsor the sacrifices in the temple. During the time of the temple, they used to offer in the temple every morning a sacrifice in the name of the old Jewish people. One. And every evening, it's called the Tamid Korban, the ongoing sacrifice. In the name of the old Jewish people, it means everybody has to have a share in it. Everybody gave half a shekel. And with this money, they sponsored the sacrifice. When they used to make the fundraiser, the yearly fundraiser, they used to do it in this month, the month of Adar, the month before Pesach, before Nisan. And then they used to make announcements, and then by the end of the month, they start to set up tables, collection agencies, stations. And by the end of the month, by 5 days before the end of the month, if you didn't give your donation yet, they actually came and demanded it. It okay. wasn't like an optional thing. That's there for shekel. And the Rebbe points out something very interesting. Usually, when you make a pledge for a charity, you can give it out in payments. You don't have to pay the whole thing in one shot, right?
You can pledge.
Say, I'll give you this year, this amount, next year, this amount, whatever. Came to this thing, you had to give the half a shekel in one coin. You couldn't bring 10 cents today, 20 cents tomorrow. No, in one, not even the same day in two halves. The whole thing in one shot. Why? The Rebbe said something very interesting. He says, the half a shekel has to be with the fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has to be from your heart. With your heart, there is no Fs. There is no payments. You don't push, you split it. You are in or you are out. You're giving the half a shekel or you don't give it. No, I don't send it. We'll give it tomorrow a little bit, a little for God, a little for this. Doesn't work like this. It means to say it cannot be a little. When a person makes a commitment to God, it cannot be a little today, a little tomorrow. When he decides to give it, he gives himself to God. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be unbelievable. You know, sometimes couples come to me, they want to get married. And I tell them like this, if you're ready to do what it takes, fine. Then it's going to work out. It'll be easy. But if you're not ready to do what it takes, it's just not going to work. You understand? It comes to Judaism. In Judaism, you have to make a commitment. It cannot be a half a job. In the last few months, since October 7, we discovered something amazing by the Jewish people in Israel. We saw that the young generation is completely in. They're in to go. They mobilize themselves to the war with the whole heart. Thousands and thousands of such soldiers who lived out, were outside of Israel, dropped everything they had, the business, the families, and rushed to Israel to join the army to defend the Jewish people. Suddenly it was discovered, this deep insight of the Jew, that there is no place for a half, half and a half. You are all in. Or you are in or you're out. Where are you? The war is already going on for 5 months. You know that? Mm-hmm. And every time when the leaders of the army, the generals or the prime minister or everybody who visits the soldiers in Gaza, you don't hear from them. When are we going to be released? How much is the army going to support us? Complaints. They only hear one thing. We want to finish the job once and for all. That's what they hear. Soldiers who were injured during the war, as they recover, they run back to Gaza. The family begs them not to do it. The army doesn't want them. And they insist to go back to Gaza. There are kids, God forbid, who went the second time and were killed the second time. Lost their life. The message is to us, every Jew is in the army of God. And this Shabbos, God tells us, I need from you half a shekel, but it has to be from fire, made out of fire. That the space, the neshama, God doesn't need much money, but he needs the commitment, sacrifice. Everybody has to ask himself, I'm in or I'm out? Where am I? There is no halves. You're not a half pregnant. You're in or you're out? And when you put yourself, when you stand in front of the mirror, I know what the answer will be. I mean, full commitment. I give the half a shekel in one shot. I jump in and become a part of the army of God.